And it is his job to call to us, or his purpose to call to us, that we might proclaim and grow his life in us to spread it throughout the world. Now, if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Romans. I made an allusion to this. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail in reading the whole thing, but I am going to assign it to you, okay? Because I think it's critical. Everybody who is a believer should know Romans 1 and 2. Because Romans 1 and 2 very clearly tell us what is going on in this world and why. You got that? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Well, let's do 17. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is righteousness from God, is revealed, and it is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the just or righteous will live by faith. See what he's doing here? God is bringing the word, his gospel, his good news into the world, and he is going to use that to grow something. Just like we're going to get to the story of Adam and Eve in a little bit here that Jack read so eloquently. He was doing something. It is his job. It is his mission. He's going somewhere with this, and he does so by his word. But something went wrong. It says in verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. That one verse right there, is there anything that you could better describe our world in which we're living right now? I've never seen it. Anything. I would never believe it because, I mean, my life at 66, you know, it's like I'm not that old and I'm not looking at America from hundreds of years. I mean, in my very short lifetime, we went from going to school every day, and how many had to go to school every day and you stood up and you said the Pledge of Allegiance and you said the Lord's Prayer? I mean, look, hold your hands up. You look at that. Look at how many people. You do that? You do the Pledge of Allegiance, do the Lord's Prayer every day? You don't do it, you do the Pledge of Allegiance. They're still doing the Pledge of Allegiance at school. Hallelujah. Yeah. But things have changed, and they're getting worse. They're getting harder. They're getting difficult because godlessness, wickedness, are like truth suppressors. God poured his gospel out, and there are people out there who are promoting another agenda, and it says that they are like suppressing the truth. I had Cash down at the gun range trying to teach him how to shoot, and he's doing really well, by the way. Not that you care. But it's just fun because he's learning a discipline. He's learning how to think, to be cautious, to be careful, to plan. And as we're walking by some gentlemen, there is a guy standing there, and he had a suppressor on his .22. And what that means, we would call it typically a silencer, you know. It's not really a silencer, is it? You still hear something, but instead of it goes and I guess if you're trying to be quiet when you want to kill somebody, it's better to be than right? But I just pointed out to him, did you see that? It's the same gun, the same bullet, but it just doesn't make the noise. He thought that was really cool. This is not cool. Because what's happening is God's truth has gone out into the world, and people out there don't like it. They don't want to hear it, and because it is against what they desire, they are working overtime to suppress or silence the truth. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, then you understand the book of John, chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the Word, capital W. That is His name. Jesus is the good news, the gospel. You got that? And so people are trying to suppress Jesus in a world where they don't want Him. And then there's you. And who are you? You are people filled with Jesus. So what do they want with you? Out. They don't want to hear us. They don't want to tolerate us. They don't want us to speak. They don't want anything to do with what Jesus Christ has to say. And so you can read down through there how difficult it is, because what they desire is to be able to do their own thing without any repercussions. They don't want any noise based on what they have chosen to do, which is against the gospel. Everybody understands that. And when you go home this week and you really pour through Romans 1 and 2, you're going to see that when people push for their own agenda and do their own thing, and you've experienced this yourself, when you have done things that are wrong, that you know are against what God would have you do, when you're not walking with Him the way that you should, if you are not standing side by side with Him and paying attention, you get so far out there, things start getting really, really strange. And then you start getting really, really uncomfortable. And then what ends up happening is God is just banging on you continually, like, hey, 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 stop it. You need to get back to me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When you hear that, the first thing you should do would be turn and start heading home real quick. Because there's always grace. We don't sit around saying, I told you so to people. That's not the point. The point is that we are moving together in a mission to try to grow Christ within our lives so that we can represent Him in the garden of life on this earth. Jesus' final words to His disciples were to go into the world. How many disciples do we have here? Go into the world. Let's just change the word "the" to your world and proclaim the gospel, the good news. What is the gospel? The cross towering over the wrecks of time. You don't have to be a Bible genius. You've heard me say that over and over. I mean, I remember talking to John years ago. What was it, 30 years ago or 20 years ago? Yeah, 20-some years ago. I said, John, Jesus. And John said, yeah. And look what happens. He's not some great theologian, but he has a story. And his story is, let me tell you what Jesus did with me, through me, for me, by me. That is something that only you are an expert at. How many here know what Jesus can do for people? How many of you gone out this week and told anybody about it?
Oh, I have. Thank you.
Let's go backwards into this story, because I'm going to leave you with the assignment of Romans 1 and 2. Get to know that. It explains in detail why we are seeing what's going on in our culture around the globe. The power struggles, the fights, the wars, all the filth, all the disgusting stuff, abortion, the gay world, the transgender stuff. See, people just want to be able to do their own thing without any repercussions whatsoever. And even though they try to get a couple of people to agree with them, they still don't feel good in their heart. And so what they do is they try to legislate that what they're doing is okay, figuring that if they pass rules that it's okay, they'll feel better about themselves. It doesn't work. Let me show you why. In Genesis chapter 2, this is a great story. We've all heard it. We understand that God created Adam. And the purpose of Adam is critically important that you understand. This is. I keep saying I'm going to write my book, and The purpose of Satan of Adam is to stop Satan, because remember when Satan said to God that he was going to overthrow him and take his throne, he got cast to here on earth, right? He and his demons. So the point is, when God starts to move and he makes man, he's making man out of dirt so that he can have a variable warrior to fight with Satan to show that Satan has no power. Does that make sense? I didn't plan on setting that up, so I'm sure I didn't set it up right. But the purpose of Adam is to be the tool whereby God is going to defeat and show Satan that his claim that he can win has no merit. You got that? And so Adam is there, but all the other creatures that are there, they have mates. They have female mates. Everybody does except for Adam. And so God creates an Ezer Kenegdo. Do you get that? That's what the study's going to be about. And you women need to be there. Come, even if you're not married. Come. Amen? How many women say, yeah. Because see, what it is that you're learning how to do and move the way God wants you to move in this world and in your marriage and in your families and in your church. So the two are there together. Now, I contend that something happened really weird because Adam had been told by God, obviously, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you do, you will what? Die. Now, we know they did eat of it, but did they physically die? No. They died spiritually. The point being is that when this time came where the serpent came to talk to the woman, she had been told by Adam, the person who was here first, don't eat of that tree over there. See that? Don't eat of that. God said, we eat it, we die. Something happened with Adam. You've heard me say all kinds of things about this feminism stuff that's wrecking our world. And that's another problem. But I'm not as upset about the feminism as I am about the failure on men. Men are pigs. Men are absolute pigs. I told my daughters that when they were, my Corey was like 11 years old, and I said, I want you to remember something now that you're getting a little bit older. Men are pigs. She goes, I said, yes, honey, men are pigs. She said, but Daddy, you're a man. And I said, yes, men are pigs. We are. We have a tendency to mess things up. And it's the woman's job to kind of bring us back, to show us the right way. Not to join us in pigdom, not to jump in the sty with us, but to kind of point. Got it? Somewhere along the line, Adam, I guess, decided he wanted to go for a stroll by himself. What's that all about? Yeah, I have a problem with woman's night out, man's night out. What the heck are you talking about? That's the stupidest thing in the world. When you invite me to go somewhere, my wife's coming with me. If my wife can't come with me, I ain't coming. Because she's my friend. She's my choice. We are a team. And if you tell me something, I'll probably share it with her. We won't share it with anybody else, but I'll share it with her. Why? Because as a team, I need her insight because I'm just that dumb. I mess a lot of stuff up. She goes, whoa, on that one. She is truly an Ezer Kenegdo, a suitable helper. But Adam's off, and then here comes the serpent. He sees an opportunity, and he goes to the woman. And then we get to the woman's problem. Woman's like, you mean there's something that Adam held out on me? You mean there's more I could have? And the serpent just plays to that. It's a deception. The same thing he does with both of us. Men and women both get deceived on a continual basis by Satan regularly. And our own lusts and the world. But let's take a look at this. Verse 6. Chapter 3. The woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. My wife loves eye candy. That's why she married me. I'm glad you laughed. That was a joke. She just loves her bling. The eye is what catches her, and she drives me insane sometimes. I'll put something somewhere, and she doesn't like that. I'll move a plant. No, that doesn't look good there. It's like, How do you live with yourself? It drives you. It's kind of, your wife does that too, because she's like from my wife, right? She saw that the fruit was good for gaining wisdom. She took some of it and ate it. Then she turns around, she gives some to her husband, because we got to share that problem, right? As soon as she ate it, she knew something was wrong, and so she shares with her husband. You've heard me say over and over, if you come to Bible study, that the woman was deceived and that Adam was not. Adam knew what he was doing. Eve ate, and she knew she was wrong. Then she gave to him, and he knew what was going on was wrong that they had just done. Because it says they were naked. Before he said they were naked and not ashamed. Now it says they realize they are naked and that they are ashamed. We were down at the corner on Friday. Randy knew this was coming. Standing down at the corner on Friday. Mike had left a little bit early. Too bad, Mike. Vic is standing up away from us, and so it's just me and Randy. Too bad Dan didn't show up either. It's about 10 till we got 10 minutes to go, and this light turns red from red to green, and traffic starts moving to the north. Now, as we're standing there proclaiming the gospel with sign, telling people about Jesus for over a year and a half, here comes this red car. And this woman in the passenger seat leans out and goes, whoosh, and just flashes us. Randy and I were like, I wanted to holler, come on back, we love you. No, she was all smiles. She wasn't bitter, which is kind of interesting. When I told my wife was like, that was Satan trying to stop you. I says, no, I think it was Jesus. We just, we worked so hard for a year and a half. He was just giving us a treat.
And I was late and I missed it.
And he missed it. No, it would happen. It happened when you were there. When we told Vic you missed it, he goes, what? So look, you know, you guys, if you come and you stay at it for a year and a half, you too may get the prize.
What time do you guys meet on the board?
What time? There you go. Exactly. But it says they were naked and not ashamed, but now they are ashamed. It says here in verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open. They realized they were naked. That word... I listened to a sermon this week. It was very impactful. I shared it with Rob. And it hit me in a couple other areas, which is why I'm sharing it with you. They realized they were naked. In other words, they were exposed. It's just not naked. It's just not having clothes on. They were exposed. Oh, no. How many know what it's like to be exposed? To praying that nobody finds out what went on. Aren't you glad you don't have a movie screen of what's really going on your mind? Huh? Glad that wasn't on Friday. It would be like, whoop, you'd have fired me. Look, we are exposed by our own lives because we carry sin within us and the flesh is never removed, so the Holy Spirit is continually convicting me and exposing me of my failures and weaknesses. We know what that's like. They were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together. They had no concept of what clothes were. They just wanted to cover themselves. They wanted to hide. How many of you know what it's like to want to hide from the problem? Get away. I don't want to face this. I'm heading for a crash. Maybe if I close my eyes, it won't hurt so bad. They made coverings for themselves. This is where it gets interesting. Pay attention to this verse 8. And if you have a pen or whatever, you should always have your Bible. If you don't have a study Bible that's your very own, you need to get one. They're $35. And then we have them on hand all the time. The best Bible study Bible you ever find, $35. Make your notes, write them down. And then you can hand them on down when you die. You can hand them down to your family and tell them, show them everything you learned. Hopefully you'll have more than one. But verse 8 of chapter 3, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God. You see how Lord God is spelled? Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is Yahweh, the only uncaused cause of the universe, the one who created everything and is almighty and powerful. The Lord God, he made a sound as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I said to Jason this morning, I read that, and I've read that. How many have read that? Like hundreds of times I've read it. In the cool of the day. And like that, just something every once in a while. That's why you know there's a Holy Spirit. And this is really cool that he's a teacher, because all of a sudden this is gnawing on me. They're in paradise. Paradise means everything's good. What's this hot and cold? They hadn't been cursed. There's no sweat. So how can it be a hot, hot day? I mean, that really wouldn't be much of a paradise if they're suffering outside like we are here in Florida this time of year. And so I did what I showed you people to do, because when you come to FLAP and Bible study, you learn how to read the Word. You learn stuff. I mean, that's the point. So I typed in the Hebrew. That's not what it says. I went, I knew something was nudging at me. I knew something was wrong. In that cool of the day, you know what it really means in Hebrew? The wind of the storm. Write that down. The wind of the storm. How many of you know what it's like to be prepared for a hurricane and all of a sudden that first wind starts coming? And the car goes, and the leaves and the wind, because trees are moving. When that wind hits and the windows rattle. You got that? When the wind of the storm. They'd never experienced anything like this before. They were living in a perfect world, perfectly perfect with God, nothing ever wrong. And all of a sudden, here comes God, and he's not in appearance like he was before. He comes in the storm, in the wind, like in Job. Now they're scared out of their minds, because they know they have been exposed. That makes more sense, doesn't it? They know they're going to have to face the music. They're going to have to pay the price. God was coming to them. They had had fellowship. There was never a problem. They were always looking forward to him. And now what are they doing? They are hiding from him. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man. What does he say? Say it with me. Where are you? Now, that's a dumb question, if it's a question, which it isn't. Do you ever do that with your kids?
Oh, yeah.
Did you eat that cookie? Yeah, come on, man. I mean, you wives have done it with your husband. Did you take that last thing? We asked just for a test of honesty, because he already knew. He knew where they were. Where are you? And he's waiting for Adam to come to his senses. Let's break this down. Adam answered, I heard you in the garden. Tie this to Romans 1. And 2. It clearly says that God poured the gospel out on all mankind. He poured it out on us and deep inside, rooted on us, put in our hearts. We know we were made for better than this. That's what I appreciated with Rob when he said to me, I know there's got to be something. I just don't know what it is. I've tried so many different things and nothing's worked. There's got to be something. And I said, I happen to know what that something is. And it's a he, and his name is Jesus. Every person knows God exists. And if they look at you and they tell you that they're atheists, they don't believe in God, give them a little smirk. They're idiots. Call them an idiot. You say whatever you want. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Because you're supposed to be smarter than that. All you got to do is look out there into the world and you can see in creation the complexity of what's going on. All you got to do is look at a baby, hold that baby, say, that is just, that by accident? Are you kidding me? All you got to do is look at the guilt that comes from us when we do things that if an animal does, it doesn't bother anybody at all. A wolf can eat a rabbit, no problem. If I kill and eat you, it's a major novel and movie. We know that we know that we know. The world knows. They just need to be reminded. And your job is to remind them. And when you do, guess what? They're not going to like you. Everybody, they're not going to like you. Let's have a pity party. 1, 2, 3. Oh. Does that absolve you from telling them? No. Tell them. That's your point. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to tell them, and God doesn't say it's got to be perfect, and you got to rehearse, and you got to get this thing down, and practice, 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 and we got to get this right before we send you out. He doesn't even tell you how. He just says, do it. I'll take care of the consequence. All I want you to do is just tell them. Well, they might not like me. They don't like you already. Give them the word. That's the bullet in your gun. That's the only thing you got. That's the only thing worth saying. It's the only thing worth living for. The word, they know. It says, I heard you were in the garden. The world hears that God is here on earth. And I was afraid. Should be afraid. They never were afraid before. It's a new feeling. Comes with sin. Comes with exposure. Comes with facing the wind, the storm, knowing you're ill-prepared to be able to sustain or live through it. You should be afraid. God is a fearful. There's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, isn't it? Amen. Because I know He's not done with me yet. I took a little thing this week, and I'm going to try this. Jason, maybe you can join me, and some of you wacko dudes just like me. Driving down 41, I commit murder every day. You know, that's what it says. You know, if you get angry at somebody, you're committing murder. And if you call them an idiot or a name or a fool or whatever, you know. So I'm turning this thing around. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to change the way I do things. I'm going to see every little situation. I'm going to work on that. Every little situation is Satan is trying to cause me to get angry and upset. And I'm just going to get a promise from God that there's going to be a reward for me not getting upset. I'm invested in the future. I'm going to get a reward when I get to heaven. Go ahead. I tried it a couple of times and it worked. I just got to work on working on it all the time. Because I hate that I get this stuff that just gets me angry and upset. I just got to get a better, different point of view. I digress. I apologize. I heard you. The world's heard it. They're afraid. Sure, they're afraid because they know what they're going through and what they're doing. It's not working. It's not going to work. And even if you legitimize it, it's not going to work. And I was afraid because I was naked. I was exposed. So I did what? I hid. That's what we do. We hide. We bluster. Some people just kind of put their head down. Oh, I'm such a bad person. And then there's people who just get real puffy and loud. Yeah, well, I'm going to show you. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. You're just doing it in a different manner. The point is, you're a failure. You're a loser. You are not meeting God where He is. You see, when we walk with God on this earth and we do what He requests of us in His garden by planting seeds and watering it and encouraging one another, that's how God's family grows. I thought of this illustration long ago. What if God is waiting for just one last person? Because, you know, there's got to be one last person to get saved before we get to heaven, right? There's going to be one last person. Boom! That's it. We've been waiting for that one. Up we go. What if that person is standing beside you at the checkout counter? And God nudges you and says, say hi to them and ask them how they're doing with Jesus or whatever. Work it in. We don't care how you do it. Plan. Don't plan. Just throw it out there. What happens if all of a sudden that was it? And then you get to heaven and he goes, and Jason wins the prize for the last one. But I digress. We are called to plant, to water, to grow, to encourage. I was afraid, I was exposed, so I hid. As we come together in a church, we grow together. We rub lives together. And I love you guys. We had yesterday at my house, we had a great time. We had been planning, my wife was planning a Halloween party at our house or decorating cookies. My wife goes crazy at Halloween. If you want to stop by, you can see she's got all kinds of decorations all over the house, just like Christmas. Because basically my wife's doing this to Satan. I don't remember what that means. We'll get that later. You know, she's doing that to Satan. There's a term for it. I don't remember what it is. But it's like we're going to celebrate because we have Jesus. You see, when we are together, we help one another. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. So the kids are all coming over here. We've got five adults. I think five. We got 10 grandkids at my house. Now, we know what's coming. I'm going to tell you what. My grandkids love each other. Isn't that right, Joe? They love each other. The adults end up going out by the pool. The kids are in the house. They're the smart ones because it's hot outside. And we hear screaming, hollering, chasing. They're running around. They're wrestling around. They're having a great time. And I'm facing the pool. They're facing, you know, the parents are facing into the house. They can see what's going on. And everything's great when there's all kinds of noise going on. But every once in a while, I got real quiet. And we're going, what's happening? When it gets quiet, you got to really be careful, isn't it? But the point is we were family together and we enjoyed one another. We shared the time together. And that's what I feel about you. There's times we like to get together and stuff, but look, we got church stuff going on. You are my family, just like Gemma and Todd and Cor. They're my family. You are part of me. I am part of you. We're here to sharpen one another, to strengthen one another, to support one another, to help one another. Because by yourself out there in the world, you're going to go cuckoo. It's crazy out there. And I'm over here telling you to quit looking at that stuff and stay close to your brother and sister. It's just that easy. What kind of world do you want to live in? I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know where I came from. And I know how horrible I was and how bad I can be, even to this day. But this song that I'm going to play for you, or Mike's going to play for you, is one of my favorites. Because it reminds me not of my failure, but of my victory. Not because of the things that I have done, but because of what God has done for me through His Son. It's a great song. Why don't you stand up and we'll leave on this one, okay? But knew I'd never be.
I know.